إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Throughout the Quran, brothers and sisters, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over again, countless number of times, of the stories of the past, as well as the result of those people who preferred the now versus the tomorrow. And inshallah, in this khutbah, you will become acquainted with, you will start to learn what does the turn of phrase mean, the now versus the tomorrow. And the only reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this theme, the theme of staying away from only the now, the myopic vision, as opposed to thinking about the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over again, it is only because humankind, it persistently and consistently prefers the now and overlook the future. Such preference for the now and not looking at the future and the consequences of it, brothers and sisters, this concept can be applied to the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of power. But in order to fully understand this topic, we have to closely examine. We have to examine the stories found in the Quran, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again. So let us look from a historical perspective. We find the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and we find the story of Iblis. And we know very well that Iblis disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He questioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to the reason for him prostrating to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We know of this story too well. But if you were to compare and contrast Iblis's response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels prior to this rebellion in the heavens, we find that the angels, they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يَفْسِكُ الدِّمَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. Do you or will you create a creation that will spread mischief as well as shed blood? So in this ayah, brothers and sisters, the angels, they are simply inquiring about the nature of this new species, aka humankind. Their question was not in the form of a challenge. It was not in the form of an arrogant response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their response, their question, did not infringe on their responsibilities at that moment, and that was to prostrate to Adam. But if you compare that response to Iblis's response, his questioning, his line of inquiry was not of simply to find out, but simply to negate the responsibilities that he was required to do at that moment. And if you continue to look into the story, Iblis refused to bow to Adam. He did not think about the ramifications of his rebellion. He focused on the now. And that is, all he can think about at that moment is how he is better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And so, I diagnose him with very, very short-sightedness. He cannot see what is beyond. The same theme of now versus tomorrow, now versus later, brothers and sisters, we find this again when Iblis tricks Adam into eating the fruit. The tactic of Iblis was to let Adam forget about the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what did he say to him? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not prohibited you from eating this except that he does not want you to become angels, or the fact that you will attain longevity for the rest of your life. So Adam made the conscious effort, he made the conscious decision to focus on that moment, and that was to obtain longevity, or to obtain the idea of becoming an angel. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam totally forgot about the consequences of eating from that tree. And as you know, we all know that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was banished from the garden. We find this theme again repeated when it comes to Adam's sons, Qabil wa Habil. Qabil wants to marry this woman whom is not allowed for him. But he insists on it. And he challenges his brother Habil to the point that even after they had given their offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and divine decision came down to decide and to adjudicate this disagreement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained that Habil, Abel, was on the right side. What did Qabil's response show to us? His response is, well, if I can't have it my way, then I will kill my brother Habil. So look at how his brother reminds his other brother. Look at how Habil reminds Qabil. إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الظالمين. Verily, I want you to take my sins as well as your sins so that you will be from the people of Jahannam. Now, of course, when Abel said this, this was the last resort that he employs. This is the last line of defense he can have, and that is what? To remind the brother, if you persistently want to harm me to the point that you kill me, don't forget that this will have a consequence tomorrow. That on the day of judgment, not only will you take my sins, but as well as the sins of yourself into Jahannam. And finally, we look at one last example, brothers and sisters. And that is, you look at the story between Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his son. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was commissioned, ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build the fulk, the ark. After it started raining, and the earth was covered with water, what happened? He found his son in distress. His son doesn't realize that tomorrow is going to be very, very bad for the entire world. What does he say? Again, a response that echoes the now versus the tomorrow or the later. What does he say?
سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ
I will seek refuge on top of a mountain, on a mountaintop that will protect me from these floodwaters. That's all he cares about, saving himself at that moment. What does Nuh say in response?
قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمِ
There is no one that is going to be saved today. No one will be saved from Allah's punishment. مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ From Allah's decision. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ Except those whom Allah has bestowed mercy upon. In other words, those on the ark, they will be saved. So as you can see, his son's response reflects a persistent as well as a consistent pattern that we as humans have to delay what we have in front of us and push it to tomorrow. Or to prefer the now and push off the thought of thinking about the consequences of tomorrow. And brothers and sisters, we all read, we all know this surah, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى And in the last few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us what?
بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى
But rather, you prefer and you desire the dunya, when in fact, the next life is better and that is preferred. Brothers and sisters, remember, the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us countless stories in the Qur'an is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has run out of ideas to talk to us about, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better of us that we as humans, we are a species that forgets. We tend to look at what is in front of us and forget what is in the future. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين صلاة دائمة مستمرة إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد
In the first khutbah, we examined the historical and the anthropological position that we as humans have demonstrated throughout our existence that we fail sometimes to recognize the ramifications of tomorrow and focus on what is now. And in this second khutbah, the second half of the khutbah, we want to examine some of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to examine some of the different techniques that the Prophet sallallahu has taught us so that we can move ourselves away from that pattern and start a new pattern. But before we do that, brothers and sisters, we must establish a divine rule Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to be perfect. And I want you to think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to be perfect, then one must conclude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intent of putting us through different trials and tribulations is so that we can improve
Since we are not meant to be perfect, the goal of our existence is to be in a constant trial and error phase. We try, we fail, we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try, we make a mistake, we do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way how the believer should be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a beautiful hadith, and I want you to pay close attention to the way how it's worded. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, الْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. The one who is smart, clever, who is that person? That is the one who accounts for himself, thinks about the ramifications, the consequences of his actions. مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ. He holds himself accountable. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And he strives for the hereafter. And so if you think about it in this hadith, brothers and sisters, clearly the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that we have to look beyond what is in front of us. We have to work for the Akhirah. And that, brothers and sisters, is that itself is the test. We as humans, brothers and sisters, we are so habitually driven to demand immediate results. So when you tell someone, your ajr is in the next life, that requires 100% full iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you that reward on the Day of Judgment. And so, the hadith continues, and the Prophet ﷺ tells us, on the other hand, the one who is not smart, the one who is not clever, not shrewd, is the one who does not strive, and he is imprisoned by his emotions as well as his desires and whims. And all he has is wishful thinking. And if you think about this hadith, brothers and sisters, when someone does wishful thinking, that is a form of procrastination. And procrastination is a classic example of how a person does not want to figure out how to focus on something that is important, but simply puts it off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah. And listen to these words. Oh, you who believe, have fear, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what? وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let every person scrutinize what they have put forth tomorrow. Following this ayah, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Again, He reminds us, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, if you truly understood the consequences of your actions that you will face tomorrow, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start now. And a few ways we can do that, brothers and sisters, is number one, you have to not procrastinate. In Arabic, this word is called tasweef. It's from the word sawfa. I will do it inshallah. Inshallah, when I have time, I'll work on it. And if you think about the concept of procrastination, brothers and sisters, you will realize that when they put the job off to a later time and a later date, it's because they only see something else that is important that they'd rather deal with at this moment and forget about the importance of that which is coming up. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, procrastination is caused by some level of an anxiety. We're not sure if we are able to complete that work. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Have reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is sufficient for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best guardian and the sufficient guardian for you. So when you know that you must do something, when you know you are responsible for something at that moment, you have to immediately do it. Do not delay it. Another aspect of procrastination, brothers and sisters, is that a lot of times we don't see within ourselves some sort of worth. We don't have self-esteem. We have this self-defeating attitude. We are always afraid of going into the unknown. And for those of you who are businessmen or businesswomen, you will realize that it takes a great deal of risk and tawakkul in order for you to go about doing your business. Otherwise, you would never take any risks. And finally, brothers and sisters, in this point on procrastination, studies have shown that kids who are not taught the importance of patience, sabr, what ends up happening to these kids is that they want fast results. They want everything fast. They want quick results. They don't have the patience to focus on a far ahead goal and work towards it slowly. They can't. So as a result, the person, let's take it simply. A person delays it, thinking that he can't do it, self-defeating attitude. Then he keeps pushing it all the way until the end, hoping to just spend just the right amount of energy to get the perfect result, and yet feel so disappointed when they don't get that result. That is a result, brothers and sisters, of a person who doesn't realize that if you have a long-term goal, you have to start now. You can't keep pushing it off. You have to understand that if you don't take care of it now, there will be consequences in the future. And so that is why, brothers and sisters, we all know in the Quran, with so many verses that teach us about those who have put off the work of this life, only looking at this life, forgetting the Akhirah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. They will say, that person will say to themselves, admonishing themselves, woe to myself, what have I put forth in my life? And so that is why, brothers and sisters, another danger of procrastination is you don't know how long you're going to live. And since you do not know when and where the angel of death is waiting for you, you do not have time to spare. Wala'adhu billah, brothers and sisters, some of us here, sitting here, we might not even know that our kafan, our body shroud for our grave, it might has already been stitched waiting for us. You don't know that. And that is why, brothers and sisters, there is no honor and dignity in longevity. There is nothing to be proud about for someone that lives long. A person who lives long and alhamdulillah is blessed with a long life, that life is only worthwhile if that long life is accompanied with good deeds. But if that long life is accompanied with pushing everything to the last minute and not doing what is needed, then that life is going to be a life of sin. Wal-'iyadhu billah. May Allah protect us from that. The second way to eradicate procrastination and to help us focus on tomorrow, the ramifications of our actions, is that we have to make realistic goals and not have wishful thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those individuals who dream about great wealth, But they do not understand the responsibilities that are attached to great wealth. And so Allah tells us, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ. And there are those people who make a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If Allah gives us a lot of wealth and gives us a lot of blessings, what will He do? لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If Allah gives us all this wealth, if Allah blesses us, then I will indeed give charity. I will be among the good people. I will be among the salihin. And as you can see in this verse, wishful thinking. And it's almost like a gamble that a person is having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's almost like a bet. Oh Allah, if you give me this, then I will surely show you how grateful I am. But if you look at the case of Iblis, Iblis was in the company of the angels for hundreds, if not thousands of years. He was given such honor to sit among the angels. And he used to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, Iblis. And guess what happened to him? Did any of that ibadah do anything for him? Nothing. It did not help him in any way. And the last point, brothers and sisters, we must hold ourselves accountable. And the ulama have said that if you want to hold yourself accountable, there are two things. You have to hold yourself accountable before you do the act, and number two, after you've done the act. So before you do the act, brothers and sisters, you have to first evaluate if this is okay for you to do or not. You have to have the knowledge if this is halal what you're doing. My father used to teach me something very important when it comes to money. He says, you have to know the difference between a merchandise or a product that you want or you need. Because trust me, I want a lot of things. But subhanAllah, we might not need all of them. And this is the same problem we have in the Muslim Ummah right now. We as Muslims, we don't even know what we want. And you ask them how, just throw a question, just throw a survey to everyone here and ask them, what do you expect out of your kids? Or you say to them, how do you want a masjid to be like a successful masjid? You're going to hear a million responses. Because why? The priorities have not been set. So we don't know exactly the focus of what it is. The second aspect of holding yourself accountable is after you have completed the deed, you have to ask yourself, could I have saved more time on this? Could I have done it better? Did I make any mistakes in it? And that, brothers and sisters, is how you hold yourself accountable. And we conclude with our khutbah with a few examples, or two, three stories, short one. First, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to say this famous quote, and you've heard it before. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. Hold yourselves accountable before you are held accountable on the Day of Judgment. وَزِينُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا. Weight yourself, you know, pretty much put yourself on a scale of good deeds before your good deeds are weighed on the Day of Judgment. One time, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he heard Umar bin Khattab, he was walking with him, and Umar bin Khattab went behind a wall. Anas bin Malik, not that he was eavesdropping, but Anas bin Malik, he accidentally heard Umar bin Khattab speaking to himself. And Umar bin Khattab said to himself, O son of Khattab, you need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or else you will be punished on the Day of Judgment. It's not enough simply that we remind you. The greatest reminder is oneself. When you remind yourself, that is much more effective and much more powerful than any other person out there. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for reminders benefit believers. That reminder starts with a self before it starts from others. And in the final story, brothers and sisters, this last example of holding yourself accountable, some of the scholars of the past, they used to dig their own graves. And they used to go inside the grave and they used to lie down and take a nap. What did they do? They would take a nap. And when they wake up, they would say this. Now, they would tell their own soul. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed my soul, has allowed you, my soul, to come back to the body. You have now a chance. So go and do good deeds before one day your soul leaves and does not come back. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العلي الكبير واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة. Thank you.